Do you want me to do that again?
Yes, please.
Good evening, everyone. I declare open the air pollution control hearing scheduled for October 13, 2022 at 6 p.m. We will be conducting various items of business this evening and also hearing an appeal. Ms. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Is Member Richard Harris
present?
Is Member Anthony Dimple present?
Present.
Is Paul Kappen present?
Present.
Is Yvonne Downs present?
Present.
Is Phil Schweber present?
Present.
Is Lee Squire
present?
Present. And do we have a quorum?
We do have a quorum.
We do, and I thank every one of our members for attending this evening. Ladies and gentlemen, I would invite you to stand and join with me in recitation of the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Now, we have on our agenda an ethics law announcement. Our county attorney will assist us with that, please.
Thank you. Board members are reminded that if with respect to any matter or any person coming before the board today, you received a gift or loan, you have a pecuniary interest or commitment in a private capacity such as family, employment, business, or similar relationship, you must disclose that gift, loan, interest, or commitment at the time the matter is being considered. And you must abstain from deliberation or voting on the matter if it is clear that the gift, loan, interest, or commitment would material affect your independence of judgment of a reasonable person. Board members are also reminded that under the rules, if you had any contact outside this meeting with any of the persons interested in this matter coming before the board today, you should disclose that at the nature of the contact at this meeting on the record.
Thank you, sir. Now, we offer an opportunity for public comment. Any person is invited to speak on any item on or off the agenda during this period. Action may not be taken on any matter raised during this public comment period until the matter is specifically listed on an agenda as an action item. No discussion among board members will take place on the items raised during public comment. Ladies and gentlemen, is there anybody who wishes to offer public comment before the Air Quality Control Hearing Board at this time? Hearing none, I would ask that one of the members of our board approve or make a motion to approve the agenda for this evening, October 13th.
I make move to approve the agenda.
And do I hear a second?
Second.
Thank you. Now, we have also as well our approval of the draft minutes of February 16, 2022. Do I hear a motion to approve these minutes?
I do make a motion to approve the minutes.
And do I hear a second?
Second.
Next we have item 7, presentation and discussion on the Washoe County Air Quality Management Division compliance process. And our staff representative is Mr. Francisco Vega.
Thank you, Chair, members of the board. For the record, Francisco Vega, Director of the Air Quality Management Division. Just want to begin by thanking you all for being here. I know these are all volunteer positions. You guys are taking your time out of your day. So again, just want to say how much I appreciate that. As we do have some new members, and it has been some time since we have gotten together, I did want to go over a little bit our compliance process, so you guys have an understanding of how we got here today, okay? Is that better? Okay. That's okay. Perfect. Ready to go. Okay. So I did want to start with kind of just putting on the screen there the mission, and I won't read it. Obviously, you guys can read. But in general, we are charged with protecting the health and welfare of the public here in Washoe County. Now, how do we do that? How do we protect the health and welfare of the public and manage the resource, the air quality resources here in the region? And the way we do that is by protecting and ensuring its compliance with the federal ambient air quality standards. And in this next slide is our air quality standards. As you'll see, there's standards for six different pollutants. No, I was right, seven pollutants. Ozone, PM2.5, PM10, carbon monoxide, nitrogen oxide or dioxide, sulfur dioxide, and lead. The reason you see ozone highlighted up there is at the far right column, you will see our 2019 design value. And what you will notice is our design value is at the standard. Okay. Also wanted to mention in regards to PM2.5, what you will see is that the 24-hour value there is 70%. Of the standard, and the annual standard or the annual number is 60% of the standard. Now, the reason I highlight those is, again, these standards are meant to be protective of public health and welfare. So again, this is how we are determining whether or not our air quality is clean to breathe. Okay. Also wanted to mention, if you take a look at the most recent data, which means from 2020 and 2021, these numbers are actually rising. So that 0.07 you'll see there for ozone is actually more like 0.072. So again, exceeding the standard. And even in regards to PM2.5, again, we are getting even closer to the standard. Okay, just want to make sure that's important. Lastly, for PM10, it does say there zero expected exceedances. I did want to mention that because previously and historically we have been non-attainment for PM10, but because of programs such as our wood burning device and our dust control program, we have been able to get back into compliance where we are now in attainment with that standard. So again, programs really important to complying with the standards. Now, please stop me at any time if you have any questions. Probably asking yourself, what's the big deal, right? They're just numbers. What does that actually mean? Well, here, again, I mentioned that we are having concerns with ozone and PM pollution here in Washoe County. And you can see some of the effects of elevated pollution. The other thing I wanted to mention is sensitive groups, such as children and elderly, are even more impacted and demonstrate these effects, okay? So again, health effects associated with elevated pollution and those standards that I just showed in the previous table. Now getting to what this looks like for us here at the Air Quality Management Division on a daily basis. This is what you see here is our kind of air quality circle of life. So what we do is we start off by monitoring the air. So we can see how are we doing in compared to those standards. We have monitoring stations throughout the region, and we, again, are continuously monitoring the condition of the air. From there, we move on to planning. What planning does is they take that data, on an annual basis is they take a look at, hey, how are we doing compared to those standards? Are we having impacts that we need to address? For example, our ozone. I just said where we are exceeding the standard. Our planning branch will take that information and that data and take a look at what kind of programs can we institute to address that issue. From our stationary source perspective, that means permitting requirements, programs for particular matter, for example, like the wood burning device and the dust control program, again, are critical in addressing those concerns. So again, data turns into decision making in our planning branch. Planning branch also issues regulations and requirements for our permitting branch. So our permitting branch issues registration and stationary source permits for our regulated community. And really the purpose of the permits is to make sure, and it's kind of like a guide for our regulated community to show, hey, this is how you stay in compliance and protect human health and welfare. So permits are critical to our success and being able to maintain those standards. Want to also mention that the vast majority of our permits are federally enforceable. So what that means is if we're not enforcing those permits in an acceptable manner, EPA can come in and override us and enforce those permits in our stead. Okay, so just wanted to mention that. Lastly, and is kind of the focus of this topic, did you have a question? Yeah.
Yes, sir. I wanted to find out whether or not could the EPA, the state, and the county find a single source? Should there be a non-compliance?
With a permit or with a standard?
With a permit or standard.
Okay. If I understand the question, can the Air Quality Division or the county or the state or EPA fine? They absolutely can, yes. Again, they have that enforcement authority at any point in time in regards to federal requirements.
Thank you.
Yep. So again, moving on to the compliance branch. As you can imagine, the compliance branch and our compliance inspectors, they go out in the field and they make sure that permits are being complied with in regards to county, state, and federal requirements. These inspections are done on a routine basis. For example, our gasoline stations in the area, they are inspected at a minimum once per year. And the reason being is, I already mentioned, we have concerns over ozone. Gasoline stations contribute to ozone pollution. We inspect those, like I said, at a minimum once per year. Dust control facilities or projects, we actually inspect those as much as we can. We are a small team. Our compliance and enforcement team is made up of 5 people total. Again, county's pretty big, and we have over 1,300 sources. And that does not include our asbestos or wood-burning device programs. Okay. In addition to routine inspections, we also follow up and conduct investigations into complaints. Got some numbers here I want to share with you. In 2021, we received 207 complaints. 137, or 66% of those, were in regards to dust. In 2022, actually so far in 2022, we have received 168 complaints. 68% of those are in regards to dust. Okay. This process you see up here is continuously going. We're always monitoring the air. We're always looking at programs and things we can do in the planning branch to make sure we are complying with the standards. We're always taking permitting actions, issuing new permits, modifications for facilities. And then, as I just mentioned, we're conducting routine inspections and investigations. So again, this process is continuously going all the time. Just wanted to last leave you with, compliance is critical because violations not only put at risk the health and welfare of the community, but it also impacts our ability to plan and manage the air quality resource. And a good example is, let's say in a given year we have a lot of dust control violations. At the end of that calendar year, when we're looking at the data, it's really hard for us to assess whether the violation or the increased data is as a result of the violations or maybe just increased growth. So that's where we have to be kind of aware of what's going on. Again, trying to tie violations to decision making, right? If we have a violations, we can't manage that and we can't incorporate that into decision making. So it's really hard, okay? And with that, we do have a process flow diagram that kind of lays out our compliance process. While Marisa is making it larger there, I just want to add before I get into this that we are always offering compliance assistance prior to the issuance of any violation. And even after the issuance of any kind of non-compliance, we provide compliance assistance to make sure the company gets back into compliance. Okay. So again, our major focus is always compliance. That's what we're here for. This compliance and enforcement process is really a last resort, okay? And we really use it as a deterrent for any kind of future non-compliance. Okay. Thank you, Marisa. So, as you can imagine, the compliance process really starts with either an inspection or an investigation into a complaint. And again, I gave you the numbers as far as how many complaints we get in a given single year and what that looks like, okay? From there, the air quality specialist put together a report with all the information and evidence for that investigation or that inspection. That report is then reviewed by our senior AQ air quality specialist and or the supervisor. So again, they're taking that information and they're determining, do we have enough information to support the issuance of a violation, okay? From there, as I just explained, a determination is made, is this a non-compliance situation or is it actually compliance? If it isn't compliance, obviously there's no further action. But if we do find non-compliance, that's where we go to the issuance of a notice of violation. From there, there's a decision-making process. If the violation and the associated penalty is defined in regulation, we navigate to the left there, where again, if the penalty is already, because we have penalties specified in our regulations, so we have no decision-making over that. If that is the case, at that point, a certified letter is sent to the permittee, which specifies the violation and what the penalty is designated by regulation. That's not the end of the process right there. We do offer up, if the permittee has any questions about the violation, we do provide the opportunity to set a meeting with us to discuss any questions or concerns the facility may have. If they do not accept that offer, again, it is, sorry, can you scroll down a little bit? A little bit more, and actually I've got a, there we go. So, if the facility does accept our offer to have a meeting, we have that compliance meeting, and then we move down to the 10-day appeal time frame. If they do not accept our offer for a compliance meeting, we move directly to the 10-day appeal time frame. All right. Can you go back up? Now, let's say the penalty is not designated in regulation. That goes down this process, and the next step in the process is our enforcement panel reviews the case. And our enforcement panel, again, is separate from anybody in our compliance branch. So really, that separation of duties where you're not judge and jury. We take this information to a different group of people, and at that point, the enforcement panel, they determine what a recommended penalty, or in fact, if maybe a warning is appropriate. So again, review of the violation by the enforcement panel. From there, decision making is this a warning or a recommended penalty? If it is a warning, again, that is issued via certified letter, and warnings, there is no appeal rights or anything like that. It's just more kind of a notification. We found this non-compliance, here's a warning. Let's make sure it doesn't happen again, okay? If there is a penalty, certified letter is sent to the permanent committee with the draft NOAV and the recommended penalty. Because again, the only body that can really make determinations on penalty is the Board of Health. So really at this point, all this is a recommendation. In this case, for major violations, we always have a compliance and enforcement meeting. We want that opportunity to sit down with the facility and say, hey, what's going on? How can we help you not only get back into compliance, but make sure this doesn't happen again? From there, we do offer, if the facility is in agreement with the penalty and the violation, their penalty is reduced by 10%. If they do not agree with the penalty, we do issue a certified letter with the violation and the original recommended penalty amount. They still have their 10-day appeal time frame, and that gets us to where we are here today at an appeal hearing. Ultimately, if a decision is not to appeal, it goes in front of the Board of Health. Even if it is appealed, it goes in front of this board today. But ultimately, again, it will end up with the Board of Health for final determination. Okay. So you can see there's a lot of work that goes on into these decisions. We do not take them lightly. As I mentioned before, violations are a last result, ditch effort to kind of address the issue. That's the end of my presentation. More than happy to answer any questions.
Does any board member wish to pose a question to Mr. Vega?
Okay.
Hearing none, we will proceed to item 8 on the...
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Vega. Item 8, recommendation of staff to uphold notice of violation number AQMV22-0016. And AQMV22-0017 with a total associated administrative fine of $2,000 issued to Metcalf Builders Inc. by the Air Quality Management Division. An appeal to the Air Pollution Control Hearing Board. This is an item for possible action. May we have a staff presentation? And please state your name and position.
Yes. My name is Joshua Ristori. I am Supervisor of Permitting and Compliance for the Air Quality Management Division. I want to say good evening, Chairman Harris and members of the board. Really do appreciate, like Director Vega said, taking the time out of your schedule to volunteer for this board and be present tonight to hear this case. So the topics of discussion for tonight's presentation regarding case number 1377, we would like to discuss the county's authority and purpose as far as this violation is concerned, or these violations are concerned, discuss some important definitions and concepts, discuss the events associated with case number 1377. We'll talk about notice of violation briefly, number 16 and number 17. Hopefully everybody on the board had an opportunity to review the staff case packet prior to. So we're going to briefly discuss some of the finer points of that case packet. So moving into authority and purpose, the Washoe County District Board of Health regulations regarding dust control 040030, The intent of them is to limit particulate material emissions into the ambient air from any property, operations, or activities. And as Director Vega was stating in the prior presentation, this regulation was developed based on a non-attainment status in the early 90s to bring us back into attainment for particulate matter. We currently continue to use these regulations as part of our maintenance plan to stay in compliance with that standard. And as you saw in the data in the table that was presented, it has been effective. I want to emphasize that this is a SIP-approved rule, 040030. Therefore, it is a federally enforceable rule. SIP stands for State Implementation Plan. It is part of the plan that was set forth to bring our county back into attainment for this standard. Moving into the violation AQM V22-0016, we found this to be a violation of permit requirement number 12 of the dust control permit APCP22-0121, which was issued to Metcalf Builders for the Stonebrook Apartments project, which states that visible dust may not be emitted into the air in a period exceeding 5 minutes in any 1 hour. The next violation that we would like to discuss is permit requirement number 11, which is associated with AQM V22-0017, associated with the same dust control permit, which states that a logbook of all dust control operations containing all information as required by the control officer is maintained on site, and also that logbook is available to the control officer or their representative immediately and at all times. And with permit requirement number 11, I want to emphasize that this is directly taken out of the regulations for 040030, which states that daily records shall be made available to the control officer immediately upon request. Essentially, I want to emphasize immediately. We've had cases where a site is stating, well, we don't have them right here, but we can get them for you in the same day. We try to offer some compliance assistance stating, This is your tool to ensure that you're complying with your dust control permit, with the regulations, etc. So it really needs to be here on site, demonstrating to us that you're using it as that sort of a tool. And I will say in regards to this violation, and we'll go into it in the timeline, we did offer some compliance assistance when we did the initial inspection at this site, observing that the logs were not being kept. Issued a verbal warning to remind them that logs are required for the site. So moving into important definitions and concepts. What is fugitive dust? The particulate matter which is not collected by a capture system, which is entrained to the ambient air. So it can be formed from things like vehicular traffic driving down unpaved roads. Not mitigating construction equipment on a site. These are things that can cause fugitive dust. Essentially, they're not coming out of a stack. They're coming from areas where the ground is being disturbed. And next, I'd like to discuss the dust control log and emphasize again that the dust control log serves as a tool for the permittee to stay in compliance with the regulations. As stated before in the prior presentation, compliance is our goal. Violations are not the goal of the Air Quality Management Division. They don't serve the airshed that we live in. They don't serve the permittee. They really serve no one. But as a form of deterrence, we have to use it as a enforcement tool. And the log communicates, it communicates that the permittee is putting forth effort to control fugitive dust. We've also seen logs where a permittee is demonstrating, hey, we're having an issue with track out, or we're having an issue with the water truck being down, and you note that on the dust log, so that if at the same time an inspector shows up, we've noticed that you're noting that you're taking care of dust control, right, and you're trying to solve the problem. So looking into the events of case number 1377, this is an area map of the Stonebrook Apartments. So on the top here, you can see, you can see Pyramid Highway. And then on the top here is La Posada. And, I'm clicking too many things. And down south here is Lazy 5, just to give you kind of an idea of where we're talking about. And here's the project site. And a focus of where the violation was observed. Here's the observation point of the Air Quality Management Division. And this is the area in which construction activity was occurring. And here we have a photograph of what was being observed during that observation period. And this was taken on May 24th, 2022. And you can see we have a scraper running here, there's an excavator running here, and there's a water truck that during the whole observation period was sitting there idle, not moving at all. So going more into the specifics of the timeline of events, the Air Quality Management Division issued APCP 22-0121 for Stonebrook Apartments project to Metcalf Builders, and that project was for 20 acres. On the 23rd, the AQMD completed a site inspection because we received a phone call from a neighboring site concerned about the dust coming from the Stonebrook Apartments project. The inspector attempted to complete a Method 22 evaluation demonstrating that 5 minutes in an hour, and the equipment was shut down at that time. The inspector then met with the superintendent on site and wanted to view the dust logs, view the dust control permit, view the dust sign. The dust logs were not present, the dust sign was not present, and the inspector issued a verbal warning, which was in that case packet that was provided to each of the members of the board. That verbal warning was our effort of compliance assistance. Let's get the dust logs going, get the dust sign up, and the other comment on that inspection form with the superintendent was to control the dust. If you don't have a piece of mitigation equipment on the site, you can't operate the equipment. And then on May 23rd, later in the day, we received a dust control complaint regarding the construction activity at Stonebrook Apartments. Can you see if that plays, Marisa? See if we can hear it.
I'd like to make
a report. Is there a way to turn that up? Kind of hard to hear, but essentially the dust complaint was they wanted to file a dust complaint because there was a lot of dust coming from equipment at the Andelin Farm Road and Tierra del Sol, I think, is the north-south cross street there, without any water trucks running. So we received that complaint. The same inspector then went out the next day and started the Method 22 evaluation, where they determined that there was more than 5 minutes of dust in an hour. Again, that photograph that you saw earlier, they also observed that there were no water trucks operating. There was one sitting at the site, but nothing operating. And there was fugitive dust coming from the scraper and the excavator. While they were doing that inspection, they also met with the superintendent to take a look at the dust control sign that they mentioned the day prior and the dust logs. The dust sign had been installed, but the dust logs were still not being kept. So, notice of violation number AQMV 22-0016. Did the appellant control visible dust being emitted into the air from any operations, disturbed areas of the project to less than 5 minutes in an hour? Pursuant to 030 or 040030, the answer to that is no. Is this a violation of county and or federal regulations? The answer to that is yes. And for the second violation, AQMV 22-0017, did the appellant maintain their dust control logs at the project and provide them to the control officer immediately upon request? The answer to that is no, and that is also a violation of the regulations. So the Air Quality Management Division feels that the facts surrounding this case and presented this evening support the Air Pollution Control Hearing Board to uphold the notice of violation and penalties that have been assessed. And with that, I will take any questions that you may have.
And members of the board may now question Mr. Ristori regarding any aspect of his presentation.
Has there been any other complaints since?
Not to my knowledge.
This is back in May.
This is back in May.
Okay. And do we have everything on site now? Do you know?
I believe there have been subsequent inspections that have demonstrated that they have been complying, correct?
Yeah, that area is super windy all the time out there too, yeah.
That's why we issue dust control permits and have the regulations in place to control the dust. Something I will point out, since you brought up that fact, Mr. Squire, is that about a third of a mile south of there, we have an air quality monitoring station. Not that that makes a difference of where the dust, you know, if you're 5 miles from it, but it is sensitive as far as that monitoring station is concerned. In addition to that, about a tenth of a mile south, you have residences. Those are people that can be impacted by dust, properties that can be impacted by dust.
I'm just curious, is those houses and everything where the complaints are coming from, or do you know?
In some cases, we don't know because they're coming in anonymously.
I was just curious.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And if we do receive complaints, we don't necessarily like to release the names and locations of those that have complained. Understood. Yeah.
Any other comments or questions by the board?
Yes. So since the last inspections, the books and the reporting have all been up to state, and there's no missing dust logs, and so they're accounting for everything now.
To my knowledge, correct.
Anyone else? Mr. Ristori, thank you very much. And I believe we have two witnesses to speak on behalf of the company, Metcalf Builders, Inc. Gentlemen, would you please, will both of you be testifying?
Probably not, just
one. Yeah. So, would you please stand and be sworn by the clerk? His clerk? All right. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth before this board?
I do.
Thank you. Please identify yourself by name and your position within the company.
My name is Ron Lacey. I'm the Vice President of Operations for Metcalf Builders.
Mr. Lacey, please proceed as you wish.
Thank you. I want to say thank you to everybody for being here tonight. I hope that you don't feel at the end of this that I've just wasted everybody's time. Because while we don't dispute that we have violated the statute, the things that I would like to get on record is that we did have some anomalies. The violation states that we had two water trucks on site, and we did. One was stuck, the other one was trying to get it out, and the graders should have stopped and didn't. The first inspection that we had was simply in our exuberance to get started. We got overwrought and my superintendent wanted to get going and just got ahead of himself, as did our subcontractor. That being said, I just want to get on the record as well that since that time, we have done a retraining with all of our field staff going through requirements, actually going through the requirements, dust control, and SWIPs as well. We kind of did a combo. And it is one of the topics in our operations meeting, which takes place tomorrow. The logbooks, there was really no excuse. We didn't have an office set up yet. The superintendent for the excavation company was keeping them in his truck. He wasn't on site. We didn't have them immediately. Therefore, we have no dispute to any of the violations. It was just in our exuberance to get started. And I just wanted to make sure that everybody understood that we went and have made steps to retrain. And we have been inspected several times since then and have been in compliance.
So then if I may ask a question, if you're in compliance and you're not fighting anything over that, and by the way, kudos on getting both trucks stuck almost. That's amazing.
It was just one truck, but the other truck was trying to push the other one out.
That's a hell of a feat. If you're compliant in everything and you're not disputing anything, why exactly are we here?
Well, that's what, because I was told to come here. The owners of Metcalf Builders wanted me to be sure that the board understood that we were not shirking responsibility for what we've done, but wanted to vocalize the steps that we've made to make sure that we maintain our compliance. It's not our last project in the county, but I hope it's our last violation.
Well, I can understand that, yeah. Okay. I was just curious.
Do any other members of the board have a question or comments regarding Mr. Lacey? Hearing none, Mr. Lacey, thank you. We may, during our discussion, return to you and Mr. Ristori. And I now close the hearing, that is, presentations of the hearing, except for further questions from the board. And I invite the board to entertain discussion amongst ourselves, reminding you that we have three options. One is to uphold the violation recommended by staff. Another is to determine whether we will have lesser damages or full damages for $1,000 for each of the violations. So in other words, we can make an independent determination as to whether the monetary fine, the proposed fine, can be adjusted from zero up to $1,000 for each of the violations. So those are our choices. And Mr. Lacey, thank you. You may be seated.
Thank you.
And I now open the panel to discussion.
Just as a reminder, Mr. Gamble, I have to say from deliberation as well as just so you're aware. And then just as a reminder also, make sure deliberation is on the record, so no sidebars or anything like that while we're in an open meeting. Thanks.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, is there any discussion among the board regarding the violations?
I myself really have nothing else to add to it or anything. It seems kind of cut and dry.
Does any member of the board feel that there should be any mitigation? That is, do we stand in agreement with staff regarding the $1,000 fine for each of the two violations?
Completely.
All right. Then I would like to ask for a vote on each one of the violations. The motion would be move to deny the appeal of notice of violation 16 and 17 associated with case number 1377 issued to Metcalf Builders Inc. and levy an administrative fine in the amount of $2,000. Would any member of the staff like, or excuse me, of the board like to make that motion?
I would so move.
I hear a move. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Do I hear any discussion regarding the motion? Ladies and gentlemen, all those in favor of the motion, please say aye.
Aye.
Are there any nays? Hearing none, the recommendation of the staff is upheld with regard to both violations. And gentlemen, Mr. Lacey, as I advised you previously, you do have the right to appeal to the District Board of Health. And is there any other comment regarding these matters? Thank you, Mr. Lacey, for your presentation, and thank you for your candor. We appreciate that. Okay. Our next item on the agenda is board comment. The board members have at this time an opportunity to offer up topics for future agendas. Does any board member have such a recommendation? Hearing none. Well, we move on again to item 10. Again, this is an opportunity for public comment. Any person is invited to speak on any item on or off the agenda. You may not take action on any such matter. And no discussion among the board will take place on the items raised during public comment. Do I hear any such public comment? Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned, and thank you, board members, for your participation, staff for your excellent presentation. We stand adjourned until a further meeting. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Yeah, it's kind of like
bring me again.
Oh, yeah.